Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Chet. We're holding at the Halakha Perek on daf Yud Zayin Amud Beit. Mi shemeto mutar lefanav patur mikriyat shma min hatefilah min hatefilin umikol mitzvot ha'amurot batorah. So someone who Rachmana Litzlan has a family member that he is bechuyev to deal with, to be mitabel on, and this person, the body is in front of him, what it seems to mean is that it's literally lying in front of him, which is the Lashon. The Gemara will correct that understanding. That individual is potter from all mitzvahs, because at this point, Rashi compares it to the Chatan, where you have a Torud b'machshava, but this, of course, is further, and it's completely Torud to prevent him from doing any mitzvah. So because of that, he would be potter from a Kriyat Shema, because he needs to be Osek in the actual Kfura, so he's literally being Osek b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah in all things, which is strange that Rashi should bring comparison to Kriyat Shema to Chatan. Tosis brings Yerushalmi, who learns actually there's a special din, which is Merubas in the Posek, the Man Tiskor, et Tzitcham Eretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yemei Chayecha, is Dafka Yamim Shata Osek b'chayim, velo Yamim Shata Osek b'meitim. So this would... So just like Rashi. Nosea mita vechilufeyam vechilufeyam echelifnea mita vechela acharamita. There's some problem in the gears here that the various Rishonim discuss, but we'll take on Rashi's approach. So those who are carrying the mitata mate, now in those days as well as today, everybody is searching for an opportunity to be mishtatef in the mitzvah. So they want to carry the mita. So because of that, there would be a lot of pushing and pressing in order to be able to be zocheh in the mitzvah, and there is therefore a tier to the mitzvah. However, once a person was part of that schus and had carried the mita, there was much less of a sense of pressure because there are other people around, and even if he was trying to be zocheh in the mitzvah again, it was not a tier to the mitzvah the way it was initially. So therefore, there are those that are in front of the mita, where the mita is coming in their direction, and they're going to try to break in and carry the coffin. And there are those who are achara mita, who already carried it and passed them by, but they're trying to going to ultimately come back over and get back in. So the deal is like this. Kisha mita tzorich b'yam chayavim. If the mita, sorry, shifnei amita. So the, if the mita, if they're afterwards, amita tzorich Behem Peturim, if they're lifnei amita, then if the mita actually is going to be using them to carry, they're potter. But those, echelachar mita, those who already carried the mita, even if the mita is tzorech behem, so it's as if it says afilu amita tzorech behem, the mita, since they were already they already did the mitzvah, they don't have pressure, so even if they intend to be used, they would still be chayiv in Kriyat Shema. Why in Kriyat Shema? Because Kriyat Shema, it's possible to be yotzi very quickly, because you're yotzi just with the first pasuk. You don't have to concentrate for a long time. You don't have to stand still for a long time. Mashenkin, when it comes to tefillah, that they would be potter from, even if they were already yotzi, because there's no way for them to be emeid b'tefillah and to concentrate in tefillah for that long. That's furthermore, the tefillah is only derabbanan, the specific time of tefillah and so on. The Mishnah Berurah brings both of these timing. Kavru et hamet. Now, once they already did the kvura, and now they're on their way back to be menachim, the avelim, who in those days the shura used to pass in front of the meitim, not the meitim bin ashura, but the idea is the same. So, im yecholim latchil veligmor, if they could begin and complete their mitzvah, achelo yagia l'shura yatchilu. So then fine, if they would be able to finish, then they should start, but not if they're going to be interrupted. Being lav, lo yatchilu. Ha'omdim ba'shura, if they're already standing there in the shura, so now the shura was various layers, and the ones that are pnimiyim, the ones that are most inside, facing towards the avel, are the ones that have to be osek in saying, yamokim yinachem otcha, whatever it is that they say. There the Rambam brings, by the way, to nuchamu min ha'shamayim, which is the Lashon that the Svaradim use ad hayom. So those are potter, because they're still being Isaac in the mitzvah of being menachem the Avelim. And the chitzoniim, who are not facing the Avelim, are chayavim. The next line belongs in the next Mishnah and will occur in the next Mishnah again. Now the Lashon over here, mutal lefanav, is mashma that it's literally the body is in front of him. So are you saying that this din of the p'tur, the mitzvahs, is only when the body is lying in front of him, v'she'enu mutal lefanav lo, if there's no body there, he's not chayav? V'raminu mi shemeto mutal lefanav ochel b'bayit acher. If there is a body that he has to participate in, it's in front of him, then he has to eat somewhere else. Because it's improper to eat in front of the mates, that he should be worrying about his physical needs when this mates has no physical need left except to be buried. If he doesn't have another house of course means, in their terms, another room. It doesn't mean literally another house. If he doesn't have another room, so then let him go into someone else's home. How about, so then at least make a mechitza between himself and the body. What if he doesn't have anything to build? Then he should at least turn in the other direction to show that he's has to be osik in what he's doing, but he doesn't mean in any way to be pogay on the covenant of the mate. But even if he's eating that way, he certainly should not lie down, you know, the way they used to lie on a couch and pamper himself. He shouldn't be eating meat or drinking wine. Now, the Einu Mevarech is a machloket over here between Rashi and some other Rishonim with others about whether it means he doesn't have to be Mevarech, which is how Rashi learns. He doesn't have to say Amotzi on his food. He doesn't have to be Mevarech Birkat HaMazon. Or others who learn he's not allowed to be Mevarech. And we don't allow the bracha, but it's not absolutely nifsak. We actually pass if he insists that Einbo Chimbo. In any event, he doesn't do any of the normal things, and we're not mevorech for him, is what Rashi learns. Ein mevorechin alav, vein bezamnim alav. We're not mitzarif into a zimun, and he's part of bekriat shma min atfila min atfilin umikom mitzvot amurot matorah, and he's also potter, but on Shabbos, where there is no way for him to do the mitzvah of the kvura anyway, and therefore there is no tirdan a mitzvah, unless, and we actually, the Tosfos brings this, we actually paskin it, unless he would be oimed on the tchum, which you're allowed to do in order to set up the burial after Shabbos, so as it comes close to the end of Shabbos, you're allowed to stand next to the edge of the tchum in order for him to be able to get more quickly to an area where he has cell phone reception, and there he would be able to be mazmin a chaver kedisha to come. So at that point, it already becomes even on Shabbos that he's being oisik, so to speak, in the kfura, but that would only be towards the end of the Shabbos. So there he's allowed to do anything, and he eats normally, he eats meat, he drinks wine, he's mevorech, berkat hamotzi, he's mezamein, mevorechim alav, mezamnim alav, and he's chayav b'chol mitzvot amurot b'torah. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, now it's not clear what he's saying. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, well, if he's chayav in all of those mitzvahs, he's chayav in all mitzvahs. What is the meaning of that? Didn't the Rabbanan just say that he's chayav b'chol mitzvot amurot b'torah? So anyway, we haven't gotten to what our question yet, obviously, but we're interrupting because what Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says seems to be repetitious. So what's the difference? I'm Reb Yochanan. The difference between them is whether he is supposed to be mekayim the mitzvah of sleeping with his wife on this Shabbos, if he is an onen. So that's the nafkamina. The Tanakama says he's chayav in mitzvahs, but not things that are private and that are, because of the nature of intimacy, it seems to be completely inappropriate to someone who's in a matzav where he's going to be burying his dead immediately after Shabbos. And Mashenker, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, listen, if he's chayev in those mitzvahs, he's chayev in all mitzvahs. Again, over here, Machlokas is whether it means he's potter from Tashmish HaMita or whether he's actually osur but Tashmish HaMita. Again, the same question occurs over here. And indeed, this is part of a deeper question as to the relationship of the Isurim of Avelut to the Isurim of Onunut. So, Mitam Avelut. Did the Avelut begin at the death, or does the Avelut only begin after the Kfura? And therefore, the only issue we're talking about over here is the period of his being an Onen. And therefore, we don't have the Isurim that apply to an Aval on an Onen. So this is really a three-way machlokas as to whether aninus is has to end before the avelut begins, and the avelut only begins after the kvura, or whether avelut actually begins initially, and the din of aine creates other chiyuvim at the time of aninus, or whether even if it does not begin, or there is no normal halacha l'gabei tashmish hamita because of its inappropriateness, and that's a special case. In any event, katani miyat, but getting back to our question, here it says, patur b'kriyat shema u'mina tefila u'mina tefilin u'mikol mitzvot amurot batorah, and over here it's talking about a case, going back to the beginning of the brisa, where he had gone to another house, because it says he's supposed to go to another house, only if he doesn't have another house, he makes a mechitza. Okay, but if he's in another house, then obviously it's not a case of literally the body being in front of him. That's the whole point, right? And the Mishnah says only if the body is in front of him. Omer of Papa. Well, maybe all of this is referring to Dafka, the last case in the Brisa. The last case is he should turn his face the other way. So over there, the body is in front of him. It's just he's doing whatever he needs. He absolutely has to eat. So over there, he turns away, but he shouldn't do any of these other things. But that is Meto Mutal Lefanav. Rav Ashi gives the clear answer that the idea of Mutal Lefanav has nothing to do with the physical status of the body being in front of him. It has to do with Mutal Halav. The duty of burial is Mutal Halav. And that is a pasuk. Because take a look with Avram Avinu, was coming to be Masbit Sora. He had to buy the Marat HaMachpelah, and he calls it Mutal Lefanav. Because take a look at the pasuk. It says, Vayokom Avraham mi'al p'nei meto. And then it says, Ve'ekpara meti milafanai. Wait a minute. It said a minute ago that he's no longer in front of his mate. And now he's talking to the B'nai Chet, and he's saying, allow me to bury the mate milafanai as if he is in front of the mate. So obviously he's using the word milafanai that calls manchu mutala lav lekovro. That's called lefanav, and that's how he views it. It's like it's right in front of me because my responsibility makes it a current presence. Okay, there's another problem. The other problem is that the Mishnah implies that it's only a case of meto, meaning that it's his personal loss, a member of his family that he is chayev to be mit abelan. And it's also mashma that it's if it's in front of him. Okay, so we dealt with the in front of him. But what about the fact that it says meto? How about if somebody has been asked to be shomer a mate, it's not his own, and it's mashma from there that he would be chayev, but that's not true. V'atanya, af amishameret amet af apish eino meto. Somebody who is doing that responsible mitzvah of watching a body to make certain that no harm comes to it from rodents and so on, he would be potter mikriyat shema umina tvila umina tvilin umikol mitzvot amurot batorah. Over here, it's not meto. So I don't understand. Why is that a contradiction? I mean, the first case wasn't talking about mishamro, and this case is talking about mishamro. So maybe either is enough to potter. The overall responsibility of kvura, that would only be true if it's meto. And then Misham Rolis, if you're currently being Osik in the actual mitzvah of Shemira, then it would be anyone. Afa Pisheno Misham Ro. Okay, fine. So now we're talking about if it's his own mate or and if he's being Osik in Shemira. But how about if a guy is just walking through a cemetery, right? He's Malach B'Vet HaKvarot. Over there, you're saying he obviously would be Chayev. The problem is, says in a Braita, it's usher to walk through a cemetery with tefillin on, or a Sefer Torah that you're reading from, and if he does so, he is over on the pasuk of Lo Eig Lo Rash Cheref Oseu, somebody who mocks the poor man, and is no more poor person, as Rashi puts it, than a mate who has nothing. It's as if he is actually being Mecharef HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayochu. It says the Gemara, yes, that's true. But over there, it's only if he's within 4 amot of the mate. Whereas chutz l'arba amot, he would be chayev, because as the mimer goes, the mate is tofes only 4 amot for the din of kriyat shema. Mashenket over here, where he's being shemer, or where it's his own mate, even if it's chutz l'arba amot, nami potur. Okay, let's take a look at that brayta inside, gufa. המשמר את המת אף על פי שאינו מתו, פטור מקריאת שמע מן התפילה, מן התפילה מכל מצוות האמורות בתורה. Now, the braita continues with things we didn't say before. How about if there were two people? So then they can take turns. And then, זה משמר וזה קורה, and then they switch. וזה משמר וזה קורה. בן עזאי אומר, how about if they're on a boat? היו באים בספינה. Now, over there, do you also absolutely have to be meshamer the body or not? So, according to Ben Azai, they could leave the body in the back of the boat, and they should be mitpalel shneihem bezavit acheret. What's the nafkamina between the Tanakama and Ben Azai? Ravina, the question is whether you have to be choshesh on a boat from rodents. Mar sofer chashinan, umar sofer lo chashinan. Anyway, Tan Rabbana. Hamolich atzamot bimakom lemakom. Remember that what they used to do in those days was to bury a body wherever the individual died. And then, after the correct amount of time, usually a year, they would transfer the remains to a family plot. And then it wasn't a big deal to be molich the remains because all that was left was atzamot. He's carrying these atzamot. He should not put them in a diskia, v'yitnema gabei chamor, diskia, often means a carrying case or carrying bag. A year, if it's al hachamor, it's a diskia, which is a double-sided leather container that drapes over the back of a chamor. So don't put them on the back of the chamor and then ride on them. I mean, that's really a lack of respect to the remains. If, however, he's afraid that he's going to be attacked or he's going to be robbed, and this is a way of him protecting it, then, of course, he's allowed to do that. Now, the same thing that we said about remains is true about a Sefer Torah. What same thing? You're talking about the first thing? That you're not allowed to sit on the Sefer Torah? I mean, that's sort of obvious, isn't it? Pshita. I mean, a Sefer Torah is not going to be Gora, Sefer Torah mi'atzamot. It's not worse. Ela Sefer must be saying that even the Heter, where you're trying to watch and protect those remains, that you're allowed to actually ride on top of the diskia, is true even of a Sefer Torah. And if the only way to be shomer the Sefer Torah is to actually ride on it, then that's the covenant of the Sefer. Somebody just walking along the street, and a funeral comes by, and he doesn't bother even walking along with it for Arba Ames, he's also over on the same pasuk of a lo eg larash, somebody, he is actually mocking this poor person by, what do I care? That is a cursing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'im ilvo mascharo, and what is the schar of a person who does a simple avayas habes, amravasi alav hakatuv omer, malve Hashem, which could be read as milave Hashem, chonim dal. So someone who is milave, the someone who is chonim the dal by being malavehem, is as if he actually had been malava HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and bechabdo chonin evyon, and by honoring that poor person, then he is honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by being chonin to the evyon again being the poor man. Reb Chiya and Reb Yonatan were walking along in a Beit HaKvarot, and Reb Yonatan's tzitzit were dragging over the graves as he walked. They were hanging down. So Reb Chiya said to him, that's not very nice. Lift up those tzitzit, kidei shelo yomru, because the dead are going to say, who are these idiots? Tomorrow they'll be dead with us, and now they think they can just walk along and they can make fun of us. Mecharfim otan. So Rabbi Yonatan said to him, come off it, man. What do you mean the dead are going to say? Dead people don't know things. Miyadei kulei, what do they know? It says in the pasuk, hamitim inam yodim uma. Oh, my life, very smart. Well, let me tell you something. If you managed to read Koheles once, you obviously didn't read it twice because you don't understand what you're reading. And even if you did read it twice, you certainly haven't read it three times. And if you're that dumb that you even read it three times, you need a Rebbe to explain it to you. And if she lashed a lo pishulach, nobody ever explained the meaning of the pasuk. It doesn't mean that dead, literally dead. It means people who are dead in their life. And when it says, and the living know, it then says, HaChayim yodim sheyamutu va'metim einam yodim me'uma, the Chayim is referring to those who may currently be dead, but nonetheless are considered to be alive. That's the meaning. So let me explain it to you then. HaChayim yodim sheyamutu refers to tzadikim, who even if they're dead are called living. I'll prove that to you, by the way. Doesn't it say, Uvenayo ben Yehuda, ben Ish Chai? It doesn't really say that, by the way, because the correct reading of the pasuk is ben Ish Chayil. However, there's a Korean ktiv, and the ktiv is Chai. See, we're darshing the Chai. Benayo ben Yehoyada, who was the son of a living man. Now, I think usually most people are sons of living men. It'd be pretty tricky to be a son of a dead man. Rav Paalim, a man of tremendous accomplishments. Mikabtzel, he comes from Kabtzel. Who cares? What does that have to do? Hu hikach et shnei Ariel Moav. Again, these are these strange Muslims using these unbelievable names, which is done throughout the Divrei HaYomim. So he got both of the Ariel Moavs, and those were like the simple meaning, the leaders of Moav. Vuhu Yarad, he went down and he killed that lion inside of that pit on a day that was full of snow. Now, what in the world is this supposed to be talking about? So let me explain it to you, okay? First, it calls Benayo the son of a live man. I mean, I should hope so. Up to Kuliyama Bnei Meitim, you know what? Other people come from dead men? Ella, what it means is there's a difference between dead men walking and the idea of someone who is even alive being dead. So Ben Ishchai means afilo b'mitato koru ichai. This person is alive forever. So then, because Yehoyada was a tremendous tzaddik, and he was Rav Paalim Mekabtzel, that means he was Riba v'kibetz Paalim l'Torah. He, in his lifetime, he created such opportunities for the growth of Torah. V'uikat shnei Ariel Moav, the Ariel Moav, is a reference to the Batei Migdash, which is Hoy Ariel, Ariel. That's Moav. It's called Moav because David HaMelech comes from Moav. Shelo iniach kamoto lo b'migdash rishon v'lo b'migdash sheni. So, by the way, this is very interesting. Because remember in the Haggadah, which says Afata Hakei Achinav, some have the Girsa Hakei with a Chof instead of with a Kuf. So the Hakei is the Lashon over here, Hu hike et shinei Ariel Moav. He busted the teeth by being mevaza them, says Rashi, because all of those people that lived for all of those nearly 1,000 years, there wasn't one person that could compete with the level of a guy like this. So it's like he busted them in the teeth to be mevaza them and put them in their place, you see, which is exactly the Lashon of the Haggadah. Also occurs in the Mishnah elsewhere. So lo b'migdash rishon ve lo b'migdash sheni, that's the Shnei Ariel Moav. And when it says he went down and he killed that lion inside of the hole on a day full of snow, what in the world? What does that mean? So some say it means literally in the sense that he was Roya Kari. He refused to learn unless he had gone to the mikveh. But the only way to go to the mikveh was he had to chop through the ice in order to be able to get into the water inside of the bar. So he did. He broke through the ice and he was nachas v'tova. Where others say, no, completely physically. It means he was Tana Sifra de Barab, the Yumada Sita. It was a snowy day, means it was in the middle of the winter. And that means it was a very short day. And he got the lion that was B'toch HaBor, which was the central limud in those days, was Sifra de Barab. That's the entire Sifra. He learned the entire Sifra on one day, and it was a short day. It was a snowy day. Beautiful. In any event, that's the meaning of Ben Ishchai. So you see that you could be alive even if you're dead. Whereas when it says Hametim Einam Yodim Uma, that means Rishaim who are alive, but they are dead. And they are Korean Metim. I'll prove that to you. Shenemar Vata Chalal Rasha Nisi Israel. We're talking over here, it's a horrible lush because it's referred to Tzidkio as really a tzaddik, but because he wasn't Mecha, Yechezkel was very angry at him. Anyway, it's a horrible way of referring to a Melech Tzidkio. But you dead corpse, Russia. But he's not dead. So you see that he's called dead because he was upset at his Meisim. Or I can tell you another pasuk, Al Pishnayim Edim or Shlosha Edim, Yumat HaMeit. The dead man shall be killed. The dead man should be killed. If he's dead, how are you going to kill him again? So you see that he's currently alive, and nonetheless, we're calling him a dead man because he's a Rasha. Allah make me karov. So what it means is, Hametim Einam Yodim Me'uma, the people who are, for all intents and purposes, are dead, even though they seem to be walking around and breathing, they don't know anything. Meaning, as far as they're concerned, they're alive forever. So that's how Chayim Yodim Shiyamutu. People who are alive take seriously the opportunities that are presented, the short moments that they're given in Olam Hazeh, to be able to have a real life. But Hametim, people who for all intents and purposes are dead, they know nothing. They act as if they're going to live forever, have no sense of needing to prepare for an Olam Haba, and therefore, for all intents and purposes, are dead, deaf, blind, and dumb. Now, Rabbi Chiya's kids had to go out to the boondocks where they had their farms that were owned, that they had inherited. And because of that, they had to work and they had to stay there for a while, and they forgot their learning because they weren't able to have their normal siddurim. They were like busting their heads on the wall trying to remember, oh my God, I can't remember who was the Mandi Amar. This is insane. Do you think that Abba knows what we're going through? So the other one says, Abba knows what we're going through. It says in the Pasuk, Yichbedu banav v'lo yeda, his sons may be very, very full of great covet. He doesn't know the difference. This is all part of Iov. Amaleidach, what do you mean? He doesn't know the difference. We'll take a look at the next Pasuk. It says, Ach b'saro alav yichavano sho alav te'aval, that his, referring to the dead, his pain, his flesh gives him pain, and he will mourn for himself. The Amr of Yitzchak, this means kosher imah lameit kimachat b'psarachai, that the decay of his own body or being eaten by the worms is like sticking a needle into a living basar. No, but that only would mean that b'tsara diduya, the things that are part of their own leaving this world, they know. But they don't know what's going on in the world. B'tsara d'achrino lo yadeh. Indeed. Now, what about the famous story of a Maisa b'chosid echad? There was this special chassid, and the Gemara elsewhere says the chassid echad, wherever it says, is Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloy or Rabbi Yehuda bar Mova. And he once, it was Erev Rosh Hashanah, and he took the last dime that he owned, and he gave it as tzedakah on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and it was a year where there was nothing to eat. It was a Shnei Batzorah, and his wife went nuts. She started yelling at him and screaming. Anyway, he left the house, and he ended up sleeping in a cemetery for Rosh Hashanah night. And he overhears that Marsha says, this is ridiculous. But you really believe that Rosh Hashanah night, Rabbi Eloy went to sleep in a cemetery? It's obviously this whole thing is like a dreamlike state in which he sees all of this. He goes and he's sleeping in a cemetery, and he hears two ruchot, two spirits speaking to each other. And these were two dead young girls. So one of them says to the other one, hey, friend, chaverti, let's go around and take a trip around the world. After all, it's Rosh Hashanah. Don't we want to hear what gezerot were made? It was obviously after the gezeros of Rosh Hashanah. It was similar. It was the night of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So we'll hear miachorei pargod, from in front of the Shechina. We'll stand behind the curtain and we'll see what kind of horrible things are going to happen to the world this year. What are the puranot? So the other child says, I'm sorry, can't come with you because I'm buried in a machatzelet shel kanim. I'm buried in a mat that's made out of these reeds, and I'm embarrassed. You know, means I'm embarrassed, or I can't come out dressed like this, or maybe it's the body was unable to decay. Other learns because it was surrounded by this, and therefore she was still connected to Olam Hazeh. Anyway, whatever the pshat is, luchiyat, you go. And whatever you hear, come back and tell me. So the other one goes, and she comes back. So she asks her, so chavrati, mashamat miachorei apargod? And she says, oh, I heard anybody who is going to plant this year, in the early time for planting, in the Rivia Rishona, the first rain, he's going to be destroyed. Whatever he planted is going to be destroyed by hell. So this guy, the chassid, he hears this.
So run. Ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
What? Who's making noise there, Benny?
Sorry. It's hailing.
All right. Come on, man. So he hears this, and he goes ahead and he plants dafka by the second rain to plant, so that everybody else's crops had already grown by the time of the big hail. And as Barnea is saying, it looks like the Gemara is being visually enhanced by the current hail here. And everybody else's planting was destroyed, And his were wonderful. Next year, he figures, wow, this was great. Let me get some inside info. I'll go sleep in the Beit HaKvarot again. So the next year, he goes sleeps in the Beit HaKvarot, and he hears the same two Ruchot speaking to each other. One of them says to their friend, hey, come on, my friend, let's go out, take a little trip around. And again, the friend says, no, I'm still stuck in this ridiculous mat. I ain't going nowhere. You go, and you come back, and I already told you this. Well, obviously, I mean, it could have changed in the year, right? But you go, whatever you hear, mashat shomat boy vim really. So the friend goes, al chav shato ba. And once again, amar la chavarta, chavarti nu, mashamat b'achrei apargod. So this time, she says just the opposite. Oh, I heard that anybody who plants in the Revi'a Shnia is going to be wrecked by a shidafon. There's going to be this very dry wind that's going to, anything that is just starting to grow is going to be ruined. It needs to be already much more strong, so you'd have to be planted earlier. So he went and was Zorei on the first Revi'a. Everybody else who had learned their lesson from the previous year to wait until you plant, they got killed, and he did great. So Kol Olam Nushdaf. Anyway, everybody else's was wrecked. His did beautifully, so his wife finally asked him, what's going on around here? How come last year everybody's stuff was killed by the hail, and you were good, and now this year everybody else's is killed by the shidafon, and yours isn't? So he told her over the whole story, see, the way you treated me? You never know. Good stuff can come out of bad women. Anyway, so what people say is, it didn't take too long, and this is what the Pasuk says, don't tell your wife anything. Okay, sure enough, there was a little bit of a argument that broke out between his wife and the mother of that girl that had been buried in the Machatzel Chalkanim. So she got really mad, and she said, you lousy good-for-nothing, I'll come out to the Beit HaKvarot, and I'll show you your kid is buried in a Machatzel Chalkanim. She never even had a decent burial. That's how you treat your family. So then next year, he went to the Beit HaKvarot again, not knowing about this anyway, and he just figured he'll hear the same conversation. So sure enough, it all starts off right. And he hears the beginning of it. Come on, let's go for a ride. And the other one says, no, shut up. Okay, I don't want you to talk to me anymore. Dvorim shebinila v'nechva nishmu b'nachayim. There's people down there that are overhearing our conversations. I don't want this. So anyway, apparently the dead do know what's going on because she found out that her mother had been told this by the friend. Well, maybe somebody else died meanwhile and told them over the whole story, so then they got the info from a newcomer, you know, but that doesn't mean that they were personally aware of anything going on in the world. Okay, how about this story? There's another story. There was a case where Ze'iri gave his wallet to his landlady to take care of. He went to learn, and then when he comes back, he finds out that she died. He can't find the wallet anywhere. There's no way of getting his money back. So he goes to the Beit HaKvarot and he says to her, where is my money? And she says to him, oh, just take a look at the area underneath the hinge of the door. Remember, the hinges in those days, the door used to pivot on the hinge, like, you know, the doors that move in both directions today. So that was called the Tsinura de Dasha, in such and such a place. And you'll find it there. And oh, by the way, could you tell my mother to please send me my comb and my eyeshadow with Miss So-and-so, who is currently dying and will be here tomorrow? I'd like you to be able to send it along with her. After all, you can always give it over Zoom, you know. And we got the updated version over here. Rashi says this was only said as a not humorous, but as a sort of pathetic kind of thing because she had died young and she wanted people to hear this story and they should be mitzvah over. Anyway, but how did she know that so-and-so was going to die? She must know that so-and-so was very ill, was about to die, right? Nah, it doesn't prove anything. You never know. Maybe the Malach Duma, who announces the coming death of people, maybe he had announced this person's upcoming death, and that's how she knew. But it doesn't mean she knows anything that's going on. Okay, how about this?
Why isn't it proof enough that she's having a conversation with Ze'iri? She obviously knows what's going on. She's talking to him.
Come on, man. Ze'iri,
if we're taking that seriously,
Ze'iri is obviously talking to her on her own level, not on his level. He's as if he entered into the world of the dead. Don't you watch the movies? Anyway, Tashma. So over here, the father of Shmuel had died, and he was given lots and lots of money for Yatomim. Everybody who had tzedakah would give it to him. And when he died, Shmuel, his son, was not around. Normally, he would have given as his last will and testament. He would have said over to Shmuel, obviously, anything that Shmuel needed to know, what to do with the money. And the money disappeared, and people were calling Shmuel, oh, this is the son of the guy who actually embezzled all of the money of the Yatomim in town. So Shmuel was very upset. So he goes also to the Chatzar Mavet. The Chatzar Mavet, again, doesn't mean literally a cemetery. It means, as I mentioned, Tyra. It means, you know, the world of the dead. Obviously, this is a vision. It's a physical thing. So anyway, he says to all of the dead people over there, okay, I'm looking for my Abba, but this doesn't mean my personal Abba. His Abba's name was Abba. Vuhad Shmuel was Abba. I'm looking for Abba. They said to him, man, you got to be crazy. You know how many Abbas there are around here? Hey, guys, let's start showing him the, okay, fine. I mean Abba bar Abba, because Shmuel's father's name, his grandfather, was also Abba. Okay, great. Abba bar Abba. That's really informative. Okay, guys, come on, all the Abba. All right. I'm looking for Abba bar Abba, the father of Shmuel. Oh, now you're talking, man. I mean, Shmuel, now that's an important guy, you know? So where is he? Oh, he's up in the Masifta the Rakia. He's up in the Yeshiva of the clouds. Okay, so before he took any further steps, he looks around and he sees his best friend, Shmuel's best friend was Levi. And Levi is sitting out here instead of being in the Masifta the Rakia. So he says to him, what are you doing out here? How come Lo Salakta, how come you didn't go up to the Masifta the Rakia? I said, Levi, man, oh man, I'm in big trouble over here. They told me, you know, all those years that you refused to go to Rav Afis's yeshiva, and you felt that after Rav Afis took over, that he does not deserve to be your Rebbe. You caused him such pain all of those years that the same number of years you didn't go to the yeshiva, you're not going to be able to go to that yeshiva up in the clouds. Tough. Anyway, meanwhile, Levi is telling him all of this. And Shmuel sees his father coming. And his father is crying and smiling and laughing, very strange. So Shmuel says to him, why are you crying? So Amar Leib, because I know that you're going to be dying soon and you're going to join me here. I was hoping you were going to have a long life. Yeah, so then why are you so happy? Well, I'm happy because, now this is my Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos how to read these words. Dechashiva b'hai al matuva, because you're very, very choshev in this world, meaning in Olam Hazeh, that's where Rashi learns, or in this world, meaning here where we are. We'll see the differences. So Shmuel said, well, if I'm so important, then I insist that Levi be taken up to the yeshiva of the clouds. What's he doing out here? So Yichashvina Nailula Levi, so they did. Anyway, so he says to his father, okay, where's the money for the Yatomim? I'll tell you. Zio Shaklinu Be'amsu Derechaya. You'll find it inside of the millstone, and you'll see that there are three levels of cash there that are hidden inside where the stone is. The upper money and the lower money belongs to us. The money in the middle, there were separate piles of money between the stones, that belongs to the Yatomim. So he asked him, how come you did it that way? So his father said to him, look, if Ganovim come, and they find the money on top, and they're going to assume that's all the money there is, because then they see there's a piece of stone underneath it. So then they'll steal it. At least they'll steal our money, and the money of the Yatomim will be safe. And if the ground ends up being destructive to the money, maybe there are chemicals in the ground that end up eating the metal. So if that happens, so then the money on the bottom will be the money that's damaged, and that's our money, and the money in the middle will be safe. But anyway, you do see from here that they know, so according to Rashi, they know because you're choshev in this world, meaning in Olam Hazeh. According to Tosfos, they know because they were told that you're going to be coming soon. Dioma Shaini Shmuel. Now, come on, Shmuel. I mean, we just said Shmuel is very important. So over there, even before he died, they had to rearrange the chairs and everything. So they said, listen, guys, Shmuel's going to be coming soon. You better find yourself new places and so on. So because of that, it could be that Kima Dechoshiv Kadmi Amakri's Panu Makon.